May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. During the past couple of weeks, perhaps because we are in the season of Lent, a time of reflection and spiritual reading and meditating on God's Word, or perhaps because of a number of pastoral issues that have arisen in my ministry, as well as discovering that our bishop and his wife's daughter is in very serious condition in a hospital in Philadelphia, it has again become apparent to me that our journey through this life is an unpredictable one. We do our best to attempt to map out our course and futures, whether it be planning ours or our children's schooling, our careers, our families, our grandchildren, where we'll live and how we'll retire. Everything will not turn out the way we dreamed or imagined. The nature of life and the nature of our faith is quite unpredictable. This was certainly true for Abram, later to be called Abraham, the first reading we heard today. That brief passage from Genesis is one of the most pivotal texts in the Old Testament. You may remember, you may not, that Abram's father was called Terah, T-E-R-A-H, and he had moved the family out of a place called Ur, U-R, in Babylon, and settled in Haran for many years. When Terah died, Abraham heard the call of God to leave Haran and go to an unspecified destination. We heard read, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and your name will be great, so that you will be a blessing. In faith, Abram and Sarai, who would become called Sarah, leave that which they had known, the comfortable, and set out on an unpredictable journey. We must believe that God has initiated a relationship with us as well. Officially, it begins when we are immersed in the waters of baptism, reflected in today's gospel passage. However, for most of us, it only really takes hold as we mature, as we realize the full extent of the Lord's presence in our lives, even reflected beautifully in the gradual hymn that we just sang, being held up as on the wings of eagles. Somewhere and sometime during your journey, God has tapped you on the shoulder, has gotten your attention and called you, spoken to you. God may be doing that right now. God has done it in a way that you have recognized. You may have asked, what's God doing? What's God up to in my life? What is this about? How should I respond? You see, God has given us that freedom to choose. It's what we call free will. It's what St. Augustine called free choice of the will. Viktor Frankl a Nazi concentration camp survivor, wrote in his classic book, Man's Search for Meaning, the following. He said, "We who lived in the concentration camps can remember the men who walked through their huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a person but one thing. The last of the freedoms," he called it, "to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." Lent is a time to reflect on one's way and attitude, especially in the difficult times when life does not go as we had imagined. Abraham's response to God's initiation, God's activity in his life, was faith. Faith empowered him and Sarah to pick up from their present place with all of their family and belongings. That was a big process in that time. And to move to a new place which was not yet fully revealed to them. We read, "So Abram went as the Lord had told him. They set forth to go to the land of Canaan." Now, God may not be asking you or me to physically move, but God may be asking us to respond to him in faith and move your hearts and souls to a new place, to make a new beginning. Every day is filled with the possibility of a new beginning. Jesus, in the gospel today, is speaking of a faith response when he exclaims, "You must be born from above. You must be born of water and spirit." Some have looked at that passage and said, it's coming to Jesus again, to be born again. We've heard that. Some of you may have had that experience. But in its essence, what Jesus was speaking about here is a newness in Christ that emphasizes a breaking with the past. The past being that which is apart from Christ, apart from God's will for you and your life. It's Jesus' call to those who were listening, to Nicodemus in particular, begin a new journey. Imagine what life can be like with me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith was present when God called to Abraham, although I doubt it was that well developed. There was enough faith for Abraham to start the journey with God, to take those first steps on that walk. And Abraham trusted that his faith, and Sarah trusted that her faith, would grow as they continued together to walk with God. Do you trust that your faith will grow if you seriously begin to walk with God? Many of you are probably already doing this. And yet, all of us can be challenged to do it further. God calls you, and you answer God even when you believe you don't have enough faith. Not enough. Like all relationships, our relationship with God requires time together for our faith and trust to grow. God said to Abraham, "I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." The promise of God is that if Abraham chooses to walk with him, God will bless him, but not blessed in the way that we hear a lot of the televangelists speak of, the prosperity gospel. That's not what God was speaking about. God said to him, "Listen carefully, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." to others, that I can work through you to reach other people, my other children. God's promise is that if you answer his call, if you're willing to walk with him on this journey of life, you will be blessed no matter what your situation, so that you may bless others and God can bless others through you. The last story I want to share is one that was told a long time ago by Dr. Robert Schuller. I used to watch him on television after I went to church when he was at the Crystal Cathedral. Some may think that's a good thing, some may think that's not a good thing, but he influenced me. In those days when I was a Catholic, you went to Mass, you were in and out in 45 minutes, you got back home in time for brunch and in time to watch Dr. Schuller, which my mom was watching. Dr. Schuller met with Mother Teresa, and he had never had this face-to-face with her, and he was hoping to meet her because he had been to her home for the dying in Calcutta, India, and they arranged to meet personally in Tijuana, Mexico, where she was doing ministry. She was surrounded by the poorest of the poor in a pathetic barrio that was a suburb of this Mexican border town, Tijuana. She was tiny, he writes, frail, simple, saintly. He said, we connected instantly. She asked me to repeat the prayer of blessing I had inscribed on a small glass given to people who had helped in the ministry of the Crystal Cathedral. So he read it to her. He said, even though he felt he was not qualified to do this, he read to her, Lord, make my life a window for your light to shine through and a mirror to reflect your love to all I meet. Amen. And as he took his hands off of her shoulders, she said, write it down. And he did. And then she carefully took that small piece of paper, he writes, with her calloused hands and broken fingernails, and she carefully folded it and slipped it into the private place of her tunic. And so he smiled at her and said, well, now you owe me one. I want your blessing. And she didn't hesitate a moment. And he writes that she offered the most powerful blessing he had ever received. May you be all and only for Jesus, without him having to consult you first. Can we, like Abraham and Sarah, and like Mother Teresa's prayer of blessing, respond to God's call at some level without him having to consult us first? You see, like them, we've been moved to worship. You are here this day on this yet another cold Sunday. Abraham set up an altar in an unknown land and worshiped God. We come here worshiping God, breaking bread, singing and praying, and we're saying we want to continue on this Lenten journey, this walk with God. We want to get closer to the Lord this Lent. We want to respond to God in faith. Your trust will grow. Remember the words, you may or you may not. I remember them from my days of doing lots of nursing home ministry in Decatur, Georgia. It was by Fanny Crosby. It was her hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Can I doubt his faithful mercies? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, e'er by faith in him to dwell. For I know whatever comes to me, Jesus doeth all things well. Amen.